A survey was taken about why people join church choirs, and these are some of the responses. They may not always be the most promising, but these are what they said. I'm running out of clean clothes, and the choir robe saves on laundry. The church is usually crowded, and I want to make sure I always have a seat. I have been selected for jury duty, and I want to get used to sitting with a large group of people. The collection plate is never passed to the choir. There's a clock in the back of the church, and I want to know when 1 hour has passed. For years, I have wanted to know who sits in the back of the church, but I was afraid to turn around and look. I've been known to nod off during the service, and I don't want the priest to catch me. And the chairs for the choir are padded and are the most comfortable chairs in the church. We laugh at these things, but it brings about the question, what is our attitude about being servants for the sake of Jesus Christ, as once again, by our baptism, each and every one has been called to be about the work of the Lord. Whether we have begun at the beginning of the day or are hired at 5 o'clock, all of us are to be involved. As Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, Jesus reminds us, he told his disciples that anyone who does not take up their cross and follow him daily is not worthy of him. He went on to say that those who lose their lives for his sake would find eternal life. Jesus calls all of us not to be fans or spectators, but to be his disciples. In contrast to a disciple is what many call a fan. This is best illustrated by comparing the fan of a sports team with one of the players on the team. A fan sits on the sidelines and cheers their team. Now, they may invest some time in learning about their team, and they may invest in purchasing some of the appropriate gear and swag so that they can wear and display their team's colors. But the fan watches the performance from the stands or watches the game on TV. They do not get directly involved. And if their team disappoints them, they may switch their allegiance to another team that they find more satisfying in the moment. A fan may know a lot about their team and its members. They can rattle off team and player stats. They may have detailed opinions about the strengths and weaknesses of the team members. And they enjoy discussing the recent game and player performance with other fans. The player on the team is quite different, though. The team and the game are their life. They spend time in conditioning, learning the playbook, and in practicing, oftentimes every single day. On game day, they are down on the field executing the plays drawn up for them by their leader, the coach. They each have their part to play in the game, and each one is important to the outcome of the game. Unlike the fan who sits and watches, a team player is actively involved in the game always. Fact is in this game, the salvation of the world and the salvation of souls is absolutely the most important being played at all times. But so often we are willing to give the world much more in playing on its various teams than we're willing to give to God. But oftentimes the most able excuse for us, and I hear it all the time, is I don't like change. But it's important to understand that's really just an excuse, because one thing we can be sure of, if you search the scriptures, there is no such thing as a retired disciple. It does not exist. Nor are there part-time disciples. But I understand that excuse. I hate change. But at the same time, I also know that God is here to change us by his grace. And so when the disciple uses that excuse, you can be sure that God is going to provide one who challenges, and that's me. I don't like doing that, but I can't turn to the Lord and tell him I'm not going to do it. Because it is very important to understand, especially as we heard the parable of the sower, of the four ways the seed is broadcast, only one bears fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, and that is the ground that has been cultivated. But even that is an image of severe change. As anyone who knows farming knows, at the springtime, the hard-packed soil of the earth, hard-packed by the winter months, has to submit itself to the point of the plow. This is not a comfortable experience. It is the point of the plow, usually sharpened, that digs into the earth, gouges it out, turns it over, upsetting it, in order that the seed may be sown and the crops grow. Also, listen very carefully to Jesus as he tells us the plain reality of the demands of the kingdom of heaven. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. He is telling each and every one of us that the Father is about the business of pruning us so that we might bear more fruit. But think about the image of pruning. It involves shears and cutting away stuff that is inhibiting new growth so that God might accomplish his purpose. This is also an image of change that is not meant to be comfortable. It is not meant to be safe or secure. It is meant to bring us to eternal life, and this is what is necessary. And being a disciple is not a part-time job or activity. It is a full-time, 24/7, to be a disciple of Jesus. While a fan might choose not to go to the game on any given Sunday because they either don't feel like it or something more appealing is happening, a disciple is called always to follow Jesus. Not just on Sunday mornings and not just at other specific times during the week, but all day, every day. But the reality is, in the more than 83,000 hours of the year, people begin to grumble if they have to give the Lord more than 52 of those hours. Think about that. One day a week at Sunday Mass, and that's only if it exists for an hour, is only 52 hours of year given to the worship of God, the absolute minimum. Brothers and sisters, that's not going to lead us to eternal life. For it will truly not matter to the Lord at all on Judgment Day how many sporting events that parents got their children to be part of a team. You can be sure that those sports teams demand practice and that the player is at every practice and every game if they want to play. And parents will make sure that their children are always there at soccer practice, softball practice, football practice. They will do it for the world, but they will not do it for God. This is not discipleship. The Lord will not care how many bingos we attended or worked at, but how many disciples were made, how many souls are being saved. For he reminds us again in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he went on to say that many will protest, saying they have done many good things, but they will be turned away as being unknown to the Lord. For the will of the Father is that we are more than fans, more than just spectators. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and be my disciples. We can never be just spectators or part-time disciples and get into heaven, but only to be changed by the grace of God. It is that we become full-time disciples, bearing fruit that will last.